streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Live in L.A., iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Nick Wright in about 5 minutes. You know, Joy Taylor's joining me. I was thinking about this. There is an art to knowing when to leave a party.
I have mastered it.
Yeah. And so, like Rupert Murdoch, the Murdoch family owns Fox. They got out of the movie business at literally the exact time. The Oscars are eating themselves alive. People don't go to the theaters anymore. Take out Top Gun, which is going to make literally, it made $900 million. It's going to make $2 billion globally. Those don't happen anymore. I mean, there's more, way more whiffs than hits. People just, they have home theaters. The streaming companies now are doing better stuff than the movies are creating, with very few exceptions. They just, they have a reputation. They know when to get out of stuff. Now, getting into stuff is you know, it's speculation, right? Like in technology, even the most brilliant people in Silicon Valley, for every 10 investments, maybe two hit. Maybe one out of 20
hit.
Yeah,
you take risks.
Yeah, you take risks. But getting out of it, you know an industry. You are in an industry. You understand the terrain. There's an art to not falling in love with stuff, falling in like with stuff, and knowing when to just leave the party. I've always thought Gronk's now retiring. He and Brady both really understand that. Brady's really, really smart about this. A great example. And I always theorized that when Brady left New England, he looked around the AFC. And Josh Allen had been in his division for 2 years. And he was like, that's what I got to beat. And then Mahomes. And he's Lamar Jackson. And he's looking at these rising stars in the AFC. And he has no weapons. Because Belichick, he watches the draft. They don't have any weapons. These young quarterback stars are emerging, and they have weapons. And he's like, I won't go to the airside. And there were a lot of teams, you know, four or five teams that had a previous record. Chargers had been to the playoffs. The Colts had been. No. It's interesting the division he went to. Breeze was about ready to hang it up. Matt Ryan had peaked and never has a great supporting cast, and Carolina's dysfunctional. And he's like, I'm going to go to that division with all these little weapons. And it's like he knew the perfect time. And even now, with Gronk retiring, I think he's been in Gronk's ear. Gronk knows this is it for Tom. You can sense the timing again is perfect. Is that, you know, they got about one more year for all these receivers in Tampa. Chris Godwin now getting hurt a little too much. They're paying Russell Gage, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They're paying a lot of money to receivers. They're a little top heavy, it feels like to me. They got about a year left. They're getting a little top heavy at the top of the franchise. And I think Tom's going to step out after the year and Tampa's going to kind of go disappear into the ether. But Brady's got, he really does, he looks, it's much harder to speculate on what's going to hit if you're not in an industry. It's much easier if you're honest with yourself and you fall in like, not love, to leave an industry you've crushed in knowing the timing. And I think Tom's got 1 year left. But when you heard him on the Dan Patrick Show, if you did about a week ago or two, I mean, you can tell the competitive fire. Tom knows, like, I'm kind of tired of doing this stuff.
Time went by and then you just get super competitive, you know, and I think I'm part crazy. I mean, I think that's the reality. I mean, 45 years old and I'm out here with a lot of young guys that are trying to take my head off. And I see Aaron Donald work out on my Instagram. I'm like, damn, maybe I should have retired, you know, because he's a beast. But you know, I had the appetite to compete and, it's going to be gone soon. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I got to, you know, just really appreciate what the time I have left because it's not a lot.
So now, again, the timing. Gronk's retired. AB's gone. Bruce Arians is upstairs. They're getting a little expensive at wide receiver and at the top of the budget for that team. By the way, Atlanta and Carolina, and they may get the top picks in the draft, have great quarterbacks. So Brady's always had, and I think there's a little bit of an art to it, when to leave the party. You know, when to move out of an industry. And the people that own this company were really good with the movies. They really understood, like, it's not the same. Streaming, theaters, home theaters, politically, just time. There's too many options for the consumer. Let's get out of the movie business. And the brilliant people in Hollywood, Barry Diller is one of the most brilliant people. He's like, thing died like 8 years ago. He was like, it's a much tougher business now than the romanticized version of movies was even 10 years ago. Well, if I go, I don't go to a lot of them. So I
say bye to the person that invited me, and then I am out.
Yeah,
we are not doing a tour.
No, no tour of the house. So yesterday, Chris Mannix was on the show. I theorized. I said, you know, Kyrie to the Lakers, AD to the Nets, kind of works. Nets need size and defense. They don't need shooting. Lakers need shooting. And Kyrie's career, the one time it's hit was with LeBron. And then Nick came out and said, I got an even bigger deal. Let's go Simmons and Kyrie to the Lakers. And let's go AD and Westbrook to the Nets. And Chris Mannix responded to that.
It makes zero sense. And I said this to you off the air, and I'll say it to you right now. Why is it that every trade that comes from our friend Nick Wright seems to benefit LeBron James? I don't understand it.
And with that, co-host First Things First, Nick Wright joins us. It is, it's a fun game to play. I know you're perplexed by that. It did make me laugh.
No, I didn't see the Mannix interview. I'm curious if you asked him if he'd still rather have Brad Stevens than Giannis. I'm curious about that. But here's the deal. You posited Kyrie for Anthony Davis.
I did.
And I simply believe you can't give up Anthony Davis and only get back Kyrie Irving. Anthony Davis is too good of a player to only get back Kyrie Irving. So then you and I, we were on your podcast, the only other than Jenkins and Jones volume podcast I listen to. I know it's old media, Colin, but I still, I'm not yet to download the old Draymond Green show. And I was like, well, let's continue it. If you want to really shake the snow globe, so to speak, I think the way you would do it is the Lakers have to get more. So you would have to include Anthony Davis, or you'd have to include Ben Simmons, and then you would see if the Nets would want Russell Westbrook either as an expiring contract, as a piece to flip elsewhere, or just as a guy to see if you could make it work. The reason that I said it was because you can't, I don't think, Colin, that it is responsible to trade Anthony Davis straight up for Kyrie Irving. I don't think that at this point, the Lakers would, even with Kyrie, they still wouldn't have enough shooting to deal with the fact that now you are a team that got rid of its best defensive player. The reason the Simmons part of it works is because you're adding a defensive player. And with respect to my buddy Chris Mannix, who's absolutely the best in the business when it comes to boxing, obviously his basketball takes could use a little bit of work. With respect to Mannix, what I would say is, do the Nets not have a 10-hour meeting about that? That, guys, we can get Anthony Davis, and what we are giving up is Kyrie Irving, who might not want to be here anymore, and Ben Simmons, who's never played for us. Yeah. Even if it was Kyrie for Ben Simmons, or if Kyrie and Ben Simmons just for Anthony Davis, they talk about it. People get hung up on the Westbrook part of it. That's not the point, but it's not going to happen. Right. Lakers are going to be cheap, and they're going to stick with Russ. It's going to be a disaster. Well, that's probably what's going to happen.
You're probably right. So Draymond Green, he had a press conference. Yeah. His own press conference. Yeah. Whatever. So here's what he said, and I'm going to let you respond to it. Here's Draymond Green.
Nick Wright comes out and say, Steph Curry's, that's it. He'll never see the finals again. And Andrew Wiggins, 3 years, $95 million left on his deal. Why would they go do that worst trade and blah, blah, blah? I hope you're willing to stand on that word, brother. Tell us why this whole series you've been yapping, and then all of a sudden you want to switch to the Dubs. Tell us why.
Well, Nick gets Durant all worked up. He's got Draymond worked up. So how do you defend yourself there?
Well, all right, let me just do it in reverse order. First of all, Draymond, I'm not sure what section of new media classes you're in yet, but it is important to be accurate. I did not switch to the Dubs. It was worse than that. I started with the Dubs, then switched away from them. So I wasn't talking all this trash on Golden State and then flipped to them. No. I said going into the finals, I thought Steph would win finals MVP, average close to 35 a game, and the Warriors would win because the Celtics would melt down at the end of fourth quarters. That was exactly right. Unfortunately, after two games, I flipped. So Draymond, it's worse than what you think. So I didn't switch to the Warriors. As far as the first thing, I have 2 points on the Andrew Wiggins thing. The first one is this. I am out of pounds of flesh to give up for a bad take from 2.5 years ago. I apologize for it. I said I was wrong. I tweeted it out. I now got to hear Draymond podcasting about it, D.L. Hughley TikToking about it, like I was the only person who 3 years ago said, hey, Andrew Wiggins, that's a bad contract for a disappointing player. And I'm really annoyed, even more annoyed than with Draymond, with other media members who have the same Andrew Wiggins take as me and are using me as some type of meat shield so I get all the Andrew Wiggins criticism. Like everyone else was like, oh, Wiggins, that's a great player. High motor, awesome efficiency, hell of a contract. Nobody thought that. That's second of all. And third of all is this. When Draymond says stand on this, and again, I am welcoming in all forms of media, and me, a member of old media, maybe can help some of the new media. It is important to admit when you are wrong, and it is easy to do so when you're wrong as rarely as I am. I was clearly wrong. I said Steph would never make another finals. Well, he just won finals MVP. So when he says stand on it, stand on what? I'm Wile E. Coyote looking down. There's no ground beneath me. Nothing to stand on. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I am, as Draymond would say, I'm man enough to admit it. Now, hopefully, Colin, since again, you know, Draymond, you know, works for you, you can maybe set up a meeting of the minds.
Yeah.
We can each share a glass of Lobos tequila and figure out, you know, what we agree and disagree on.
I think
we should be able to do that.
I think you'd actually, you both have a passion for professional basketball. It would be great. You know, it's you were right, by the way. You've been right for years on the Celtics that you just don't feel like they're, you know, they've hoarded picks and they don't make big moves. They tried the Kyrie thing, didn't work. So when you love this sport and more than anybody I know, and I love it, but it doesn't compare to you. Give me your sort of, I don't want to overreact. You know, it's funny. I said after watching the playoffs, I don't know what to make of the Phoenix Suns. They can't play from behind. I wouldn't play I wouldn't pay DeAndre Ayton. I'm not even sure if they're in my top five, and I thought they were going to win the championship. So the playoffs does, playoff basketball really sure. does illustrate the truth about the NBA, which is you need veterans, you got to be able to play ahead or behind. For years, Milwaukee could play downhill, but not from behind, and then Giannis and Middleton were able to do it, and they won a title. So give me your look at next year in the NBA.
Well, when it comes to Boston, and then I'll extrapolate from there. If I'm Boston, I don't overreact to falling apart at the end of the finals. As you see it, I think they're one of the six best teams going into next year. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of data on that screen there. But I think Boston's got a young team aside from Horford. They're all under contract. You've got to hope that Tatum gets a little stronger with the ball and stronger physically, that if he gets 10% better and Brown gets 10% better, then you're right there in the East, with the exception of, I believe Milwaukee was going to roll the world in these playoffs if Middleton doesn't get hurt. They damn near beat the Celtics without Middleton.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee's the prohibitive favorites. I think right now, the idea, the Warriors are the betting favorites. I'm not going to act like they can't win the title. But I don't think they are the favorites to me coming out of the West. I think the Clippers and the Mavs, and you know, Colin, I've never been a believer in the Clippers, and I've never been wrong about the Clippers.
Right.
And this year, I do believe in the Clippers.
Yeah.
I think Kawhi, with a year of rest, is going to be dynamic. I love Ty Lue. And then on the next to him, I have the Mavs. Like, Luka Doncic is only going to get better.
Yeah.
This summer, he doesn't have the Olympics to deal with. I like the Christian Wood addition. I think they're going to keep Brunson. So if the Grizzlies series, the Grizzlies took them six, lost game one on a buzzer beater or a missed buzzer beater, and Ja didn't play three games. So to me, those are the clear-cut four best teams in the West. We'll see how healthy Denver is. We'll see what the Lakers do.
Yeah.
But I think out East, Boston shouldn't overreact to a bad finals, but also should be realistic that Giannis, I guess I would think about it like this, Colin. In the next 7 years, I think Giannis is going to be in the finals five times.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be a whole bunch of Eastern Conference championships available. Boston got one this year, and then they couldn't close the deal.
Let's finalize this with a football take.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, word association with Gronk is great, fun, lively, huge. But I also said the NFL is asking different things of their coaches now. You got to be able to draft offensive talent, design offenses, and develop it. That's why Sean McVay keeps winning divisions and getting to Super Bowls. That's what the league demands. Gronk is the last great offensive player drafted by New England. And instead of fixing the offense,
that's
they brought
great.
Joe Judge and Matt Patricia over to help with the offense. That's not the answer.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's not great. And when I think of Gronk, I said this before to you privately, and I don't know if I've said it to you in a discussion. This would make you happy. I said, sports determine really what wins and what doesn't. At one point in hockey, you had to be physical. You could grab and clutch. They got rid of that. Now it's speed. Who's got speed? Baseball now, get power hitters. Strikeouts are irrelevant. You don't want sure. ground balls. Guys that can hit it in the air. Football has determined you got to be able to draft, design, and develop offense because you can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit receivers. The middle of the field now is not defense like the 70s, 80s, 90s. It is the offense. And that if the NFL would have done this 15 years ago, we'd call Andy Reid the best coach. We would not call Belichick the best coach. And if Belichick and Reid both coach for 6 years from this moment on, we're going to look at the last decade of Belichick and Reid. By the way, Reid the only coach that's had Belichick's number, and we're going to go, are we sure Belichick's the best coach? And so I guess I'm a long-winded. Gronk is illustrating a reality that it wasn't a Brady-Belichick divorce. It's a Brady-Gronk-Belichick divorce. He didn't design that relationship. He didn't develop that relationship. Tom and Gronk did.
Well, listen, I think a lot of what you're saying is fair. I also think what should be acknowledged, they won six Super Bowls in New England with Brady and Belichick. The first three, they won not because of the offense, but in some ways despite the offense, as great as Brady was for that third Super Bowl. Like, Belichick made his name on the defensive side of the ball, and in with the Giants was unbelievable on defense, and with New England through about 06, those were defensive teams until they added Moss and Brady became this new version of himself. I do agree with you that the game is evolving, and I think it's hard to evolve when you're almost 70 and when the people around you are friends and family as opposed to fresh new blood. And so I think that is a weakness for the Patriots. And we all laughed at the Patriots war room being Belichick hanging out with his dog, but there is an element of, you know, the wisdom of crowds and having as many good brains as available to you as possible. I don't know the Patriots do that. And it's one thing to go your own way if you're the most successful, but drafting wise, they have not been. And drafting wise, they have a lot more misses than hits over the last decade. So maybe the way other teams are doing it is smarter. As far as Andy Reid being the best, you know how much I love Andy, but not unless NFL's going to go to a clockless format where you don't manage it. You know what? We're not going to keep time. As long as there's time, Andy's going to have some struggles. Can I say one thing quickly about Gronk's retirement?
Sure.
Because like so many things in sports, you know, it all started going bad with Michael Jordan. And by that, I mean this. Once upon a time, Colin, you know what retired meant? Retired. You were done, except for boxers. And then Jordan retired, unretired, retired, unretired, retired again. So then Tom Brady's like, well, I'm a GOAT. I can do that same thing. I'll retire and then come back 6 weeks later. Now Gronk's in his second retirement, and nobody actually thinks he's retiring. Everyone's like, when's Gronk coming back? It's like, dude, he just retired. So here's what I propose, Colin. It's a five-year wait to make the Hall of Fame once you retire from any sport. You get an extra year tacked on it for every fake retirement. So Brady, now it's going to be six for him. Gronk, it's just 7 years. If you come back, you got to wait 7 years post-final retirement. Each fake retirement, we're tack a year on the wait list. The word needs to mean something again. Well, you know what I mean? Once upon a time, retirement meant I'm going to go play golf and hang out. Now it means I'll see you in 6 weeks back playing. Don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Nick Wright, he's got a podcast, What's Right, with Nick Wright. Son's on it. Great seeing you as always, buddy.
You too. See you guys. Bye.
All right. Nick Wright, co-host First Things First. Good show. It is. It is different, I guess. I mean, I think a lot of it is, especially with football, is that you don't need the preseason like you used to. You don't need the OTAs. If you're a veteran in this league and you got a quarterback you've worked with, I mean, if you and I, literally Stafford and Cooper Kupp, never played a snap in the preseason, probably won't, and had about 4 days to get on the same page of practice, you think they'd be efficient? I kind of think they would. I think you do get these rare relationships, quarterback, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, quarterback, left tackle. You don't forget how to ride a bike when you haven't been on it for a while. It's like, I think Gronk and Brady could literally do two practices together and they'd be fine.
Well, that's kind of why Drew Rosenhaus was like, well, if he gets a call during the middle of the season, he might come back. I don't think he will, because Gronk is such a collision player that his body is playing a role in this. He enjoys not waking up and, you know, aching and, you know, putting any more miles on his body. He doesn't need to money-wise. That part, though, is why Devontae Adams and Derek Carr are so interesting.
Very.
Played because college. They have a real relationship.
Yep.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The inaugural USFL playoffs kick off this weekend on Fox as the Philadelphia Stars face off the New Jersey Generals for a berth in the title game from the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. It's the USFL playoffs Saturday at 3 Eastern on Fox.
Had a couple of people in the building and out of the building ask me about the USFL. And they, do you think it's a success? And I always say, it's not going to be an attendance success for a long time, but is it a TV success? Is it a gambling success? Is it a personnel success? And I'm like, yeah. Don't judge the USFL like you judge college football, which has 100 years of people going to Michigan Wolverine games. They're going to expand this. I'm not going to get into particulars, but there's going to be some moves here that are going to elevate the TV process. It's a TV sport, and it's a gambling sport eventually, and that's what it's meant for, and it's got surprisingly good television numbers. But listen, folks are busy. We got a lot of pro sports and a lot of college sports, and you got the College World Series, and people have their kids in volleyball tournaments and baseball tournaments. You can't just start a league up, and UFC did not fill arenas the first, 20 years ago. But in terms of, it's got network support, it's well capitalized, the football's not bad, they got some really quirky little inventions, the cameras are all over the place, and it's going to be used. You're going to have some gambling involved in this eventually. Yes, it's a success. To me, it is. I've always thought spring football is going to work. Now, I'm 0-2. I've missed on both, but I've always said there is a spot in America for 8 to 10 weeks of spring football. I mean, good God, free agency. Our ratings spiked by 30-40% during NFL free agency. That's just players trading laundry. So there is room for a spring football league in America. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Nets are said to be torn on whether they should sign Kyrie Irving to a long-term extension.
Scary.
And his relationship with Steve Nash might have something to do with it. According to Stephen A. Smith, Kyrie reportedly sometimes held his own practices with Nets teammates after the regular practices ended.
Oh, that's not great.
And it could be viewed that he did this because he felt like Nash's practices were ineffective. Ugh. You remember when this was all being put together, KD and Kyrie talked about how, you know, maybe one day they're the coach, one day Steve's the coach, one day Kyrie is the coach. So the internal structure of how things work in Brooklyn could be a big breaking point for this as well. Now, Kyrie has until June 29th.
That's a big story, Joey. Like, that story, I know you're doing Herdline News, but a player is holding a practice after a practice.
Yeah, it's not normal.
Patrick Mahomes says, thanks, Coach Reed. Guys, let's have our own practice. I'd say that problem's in Kansas City. That would not be ideal to
me. Well, this isn't surprising to me. I mean, KD and Kyrie told you what the process was going to be out of their own mouths. They said they don't need a coach.
Oh,
They don't need it. One day Kyrie's going to be the coach. One day KD's going to be the coach. The result is you were the only team swept in the playoffs this year.
You and I don't need a boss. How about that be the new thing?
No, we do, because I don't want to do what they do.
Accounting and numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. And so there's a reason why people have positions. And particularly, I think, when we talk about NBA coaches, because it's so transactional and it's such a player, a star league, a star league, that coaches and staffs sort of get undermined sometimes contributions that they have to the team. And it's just kind of this assumption that, you know, the star players just go out there and do whatever they want to do. And sometimes that happens and you get swept in the first round of the playoffs. I believe in the structure of things. I believe in the roles that people play within massive organizations with a bunch of moving parts. And that's why I think culture is so important, because when people feel steady in their job, when people feel like they have upward mobility, when people feel like they're valued, when people feel like they're heard, and when people are encouraged to do their best work, the result usually is success for everyone. That's generally how success happens.
Yeah.
And if you look at successful organizations and successful programs, that is a connecting fiber with them. So the idea that you need to hold your own practice after your head coach, who, by the way, is not some buster, held his practice. I mean, I don't think that that's a winning formula. So far, I'm right. It's not a winning formula.
Right.
So this is what the question is with Kyrie. What are you going to get with Kyrie if you bring him in? You can't just talk about what he brings when he's on the court. We know what he's capable of. It's everything else that is the question.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. The NFL doesn't get into this. It's so much of baseball's issue is you get locked into bad contracts. But they don't have a salary cap, so you're fine. The NFL has a hard cap. The NBA puts its teams in really tough spots. The Sixers with Harden. They shouldn't be forced to have to do that. Now, like the Nets right now, they don't want to sign Kyrie to a long-term contract, but if there's no market for him, what do they get for him? He walks away. So a lot of this, the construct of the NFL is good. If you sign a guy and he's enigmatic or difficult, you can move off him, and it doesn't punish you forever. I don't think NFL GMs are better than NBA GMs, but they're given more outs.
Yeah.
The freeway of contracts, there's way more exits. Some of these NBA GMs, these are hard, hard decisions. What do you do with John Wall? What do you do with Ben Simmons? I have sympathy for guys running NBA. It's like a freeway. You ever been in a freeway and you miss an exit and there's not another exit for 11 miles and you're like, did anybody have an overpass?
You just added an hour onto your commute.
I think Brooklyn's in a brutal spot with both Simmons and Kyrie.
There's also a report that they are concerned that Kyrie might sign a long-term deal and then decide to retire, which is why they're currently at an impasse when it comes to extending him. Kyrie's agent reportedly threatened that he would retire if the Nets traded him last season. To your point that he's talked about it, and he's entering his final year of the contract with the Nets. So this is something that we'll find out about within the next week, what Kyrie is going to do. Again, I think a lot of Kyrie's success this year also came from the fact that he was fresh. He didn't play in a lot of games this year. So by choice. So he had the ability to go out and put up those big nights. Yeah. Is that going to be the same situation if he's playing every single night? So there's just a lot of questions with that situation. So the Celtics fell short in the finals, and the president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens, knows they have some work to do this offseason to improve the roster.
If you ask me right now what we need, I'd like to have a little bit more scoring, consistent scoring off the bench. And, you know, I think that we have some short-term needs there, but I think we need a little bit more playmaking.
Yes, those are the two things.
I think that's real. We have to make sure that, you know, we continue to, you know, play with pace. And, you know, I just thought that we played pretty slow in that last series.
This is my disagreement with Chris Mannix on this. They're a bad ball handling team. I agree right. with Brad Stevens. They have got, now Kyrie was actually perfect, but it didn't work. Kemba Walker, had his knee not gone south, he would work. They really need an initiator of offense, because Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, to me, are not, that's not what they do. They're each great in what they do. Brown's the great athlete. Tatum's the versatile defender and scorer. And Marcus is the great defender. I need a guy to get this puppy going. That's what Steph Curry does. I mean, he's just the fluidity, the movement. And if he didn't work, Poole could do it. So right. they had two different guys who could initiate offense.
And don't worry about the defensive ends. You are more Fine. Than stacked
yes.
defensively. Everybody can't be a defensive stopper. You have to put the ball in the basket as well. And to Brad's point about the bench scoring, the Warriors reserves outscored the Celtics backups 52-9 in games 5 and 6 combined.
Wow.
Which, you know, could be the series right there. And the Warriors bench players averaged 26.8 points in the finals. Celtics averaged 20.7. So there was a significant difference there with the bench scoring, which you don't really think about when you get late into the postseason, because it becomes more and more about the stars. But yeah. they also have to sit. And when those stars are sitting, you can't fall behind, especially yeah. when you're going up against a team like Golden State. And, you know, the turnovers were obviously a huge problem for the Celtics as well. To your point, they did not take care of the ball
at all.
And they've got a bad ball handling
team. That. They need a great ball handler.
They had 78 turnovers in the finals, 265 in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They averaged 18.7 per game in the finals losses.
How did they get to 6 games? That's what's remarkable. How do you get, you're averaging almost 20 turnovers a game, and you get to game 6 against a great franchise? That is redeemable in a weird way.
It's pretty remarkable. So Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement yesterday, Hall of Fame career. And in reaction to Gronk's news, Drew Rosenhaus said, "It would not surprise me if Tom Brady calls him during the season to come back and Rob answers the call. This is just my opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rob comes back during the season or next season." And Tom Brady tweeted out a response to Drew's comments, which is really funny. I love Tom Brady on social media.
Yeah.
I love that he has totally leaned into this. He's really funny. So Gronk has already retired for one season, and Brady lured him back and convinced him to play for Tampa Bay. He played his entire 11-year career with Brady under center. Brady missed 4 games due to suspension in 2016. They won 4 Super Bowls together. And last season, Gronk played 12 games, had 55 receptions for 802 yards and 6 receiving touchdowns. Gronk has nothing left to give the game as far as proving anything. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever play the position. In my opinion, the most dominant physical presence to play the tight end position.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
And his connection with Tom Brady, I think, goes hand in hand with Tom Brady's greatness, and I think he would agree with that. Like, having a target as effective and efficient as Rob Gronkowski for as long as he did certainly played a role in Tom's success. And Gronk leveled up in the playoffs, which is always another measuring stick for the greatness. Like, when you can have huge moments in the postseason, that to me puts you in a whole other conversation.
Well, you know, when I was really, really young, you know, 35 years ago, Dave Casper was good for the Raiders. Benny Cunningham, not bad for the Steelers. But most tight ends were really unremarkable. I have almost an encyclopedic Rain Manning-ish memory on, like, teams in the 70s, because that's when I was collecting cards and everything. I don't even remember tight ends. Kellen Winslow was the first, like, whoa, that's different. Like, you could put him out wide. But most tight ends, the middle of the field was for defense. You scored running the football or up the sidelines.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the NFL said, you can't hit upstairs. You can't do this. You can't do that. The offense now owns the middle of the field. And that is just a gold mine for Travis Kelce. Even guys that were basketball players, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
A finesse guy. Now he can go over the middle. So now when I look at drafting, like these tight ends, like,
oh, they're extremely valuable.
Oh,
and if they're
Lord.
Good blocking tight ends or are willing to block, that just completely changes what you're able to do with your offense, because they're such a valuable piece on the field. And Gronk did a lot of that as well. So
I mean,
I don't know that I can see him coming back. He already retired once. He's already gotten that taste of relaxing and like what you do with your off season when you're not retired, because Gronk is somebody that takes this very seriously. That's the only thing that would genuinely surprise me if he came back.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of retiring again? Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Parents? Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, there's a story out here. Yesterday, Nick Friedel of ESPN said that KD and Kyrie are not as close as everybody thinks. They're friends, but it's not always as close as they appear. It is interesting to remember that LeBron dumped his buddy D-Wade for business. MJ and Pippen, we find out, were not that close. Shaq and Kobe didn't like each other. Kareem and Magic were polar opposites, personality-wise. I mean, I was always told, oh, Harden and Chris Paul are buddies. Harden and Westbrook are buddies. That didn't last. It's a tale as old as time. Don't go into business with friends. It's hard to be critical of friends. You're not very objective about friends. You won't make the tough call with friends. So the bottom line here is the NBA is really hard on its general managers. It forces you sometimes to sign players you don't really want to sign. Daryl Morey does not want to sign James Harden to a long contract. He doesn't want to sign him to a three-year contract. He's trapped. They don't want to sign Kyrie Irving. Who wants to sign Kyrie Irving to a long contract? Nobody in the league. But, I mean, outside of the LeBron years, we've had the Duke, Cleveland, Boston, Brooklyn. Didn't work for Kyrie before LeBron, Cleveland. So nobody wants to do it, but this is what the league demands. And that's why I think one of the great strengths of the NFL is their union. It's not very strong. And so it's run by owners and GMs and coaches. It's not run by players. And whenever I see media wanting the athletes to get paid, what you want is your athletes to, if they're great, get paid. But what you're seeing in a lot of these sports is enigmatic players, selfish players, injured players. I mean, Pelicans are forced to sign Zion. He's played 38% of his games. So the other leagues don't force you to do this. And that's one of the things with basketball. And if I was the commissioner, you know, I would step in and go, I'm willing to pay star money. It's not about that. But what the NBA does is you got to pay a Ben Simmons, a Kyrie, a James Harden, or somebody that's injured like Zion. Now you got to give them 5 years. John Wall, Westbrook, these are terrible contracts. If I said to you, what's a terrible NFL contract? I can't think of one. Honestly, give me a terrible NFL contract. You can take Kirk Cousins, but he's made the playoffs. You're not making 40. You're not making 38. You could say, well, Jimmy Garoppolo. Hell, he just won in Green Bay. He'd been to a Super Bowl. Not that terrible.
Yeah, even Jared Goff, when Jared Goff signed his contract, everyone was freaking out. And now the Rams were paying both Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford.
And say what you want about Jared Goff. Between Goff, DeAndre Swift, Amaron St. Brown, Penei Sewell, the left tackle, TJ Hawkinson, the tight end.
Jared Goff played in the Super Bowl. I mean, he obviously has limitations, but that was never a bad contract.
Jared Goff and the Rams offense is not the issue. They can't stop anybody. So, you know, it's KD. My point with KD is I think he'd move off Kyrie tomorrow if he could. And these organizations get trapped. There's just no way I could give Kyrie a long-term contract. No way. Especially because he doesn't provide what they need, which is size and defense. They got enough shooters. The Cleveland Browns, the story out, and it's interesting that basically the NFL has said, we don't care if Deshaun Watson gets all these finalized, all these off the books. It's not going to get in the way of the suspension. It has no impact what happened yesterday about cleaning up 20 of the 24 current situations, litigation.
Civil lawsuits.
So it's just not going to matter. I think I would sit him out for the year. My guess is it'll be between 8 games and that somewhere. It won't be fewer than 8. You're going to get clobbered for it if he's not out for the year. But this does sort of illustrate When we've talked about this, when you run a business based on fear and panic and desperation, these are the decisions you make. You overdraft Baker Mayfield and you guarantee all the money for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's an upgrade. But to guarantee all of it, how good is he going to have to be to make this work? I mean, it's because right now he is costing you millions of dollars. I mean, there are people in Cleveland, women, and the NFL has got an ascending demographic of women that love the sport. Like, I'm always shocked when I see the numbers of women who go to games and love the games. It's like crazy numbers. I think it's better than any other pro sport. And, you know, it's got a regulated level of violence. So, you know, like my wife.
47% of all NFL fans are women.
That's a pro. That's
almost half. I'm not great at math, but 47% is almost half.
It's really a huge number. So I know a lot of those women are not going to buy jerseys. They're not going to buy merchandise. They're not going to go to games. So you're losing money right now. Forget the guaranteed money. You're losing money for a franchise that can't afford to lose anything. Coaches, games, good GMs. Dollar Shave Club 6-Blade Razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades. You can get them at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. All right. 2 hours flying by, crossing my fingers that my tickets will work on the airplane Friday. It's the Herd.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.